This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Turn up the volume. We're crossing live to the sports desk. What's fresh? What's making waves? Let's find out.
Yes, indeed. It's 11:30 and we do head across to the sports desk. We're in control of it today is Brian Rarere. And Brian, there's a veritable smorgasbord of stuff to talk about.
Yeah, and I think I'll start with UFC 300. I know you touched on it, or Sammy touched on it yesterday with that amazing the fight that just immortalized Max and Justin, really, for the BMF bout there with that last second knockout, the latest in UFC history. There's been a couple, but that was the best one ever. I mean, no one's ever going to take Max out down on that offer anymore. He's done it before, and he's ended blokes before. I think one person's done it to him, a guy called Dustin Poirier. He called him to the centre of the ring for I think it was their fifth round there. But that was just amazing. Max Holloway got 600K bonuses, 300K for the fight of the night, and 300K for the performance of the night. So that also means Justin Gaethje also gets a $300,000 bonus from Dana White there. Now, they're usually $50,000. They are usually $50,000, but at the press conference, Max said to him, come on, let's make it $300,000. Dana said, done. So they all went out there and tried to chase it. There was one fight in there that was boring as hell, and the bloke didn't even get a post-fight interview. It was that bad. Now, that was Aljamain Sterling, the former 135 champion. He just wrestle-hugged the guy to a decision, and it was, in terms of UFC 300, absolutely boring. Other ones of note, the first fight, the God of War versus Cody Garbrandt, that was pretty high octane until Cody Garbrandt was choked out. Then we had the two vets, Bobby Green and Jim Miller, violence. Bobby Green just stayed on the outside and picked them apart and got the unanimous decision from that. And the one that, Dan Hooker probably got his next fight booked now with Renato Moicano beating Jalen Turner, the guy who Dan Hooker last beat. So that should be good. Dan will be hopefully looking to fight, I think he said, in June. So look forward to that one there. Now, the fight, one of the fights that I highlighted was double Olympic champion Kayla Harrison and former PFL champion, making her debut at bantamweight against Holly Holm, the UFC legend. Kayla dominated her. It was very, very interesting because she's probably booked her shot at the title against Raquel Pennington coming up soon with that total domination of a woman who also usually dominates, the one who ended Ronda Rousey's career, basically. So that was good to watch as well. And then we had Sterling versus Qatar, which was just, it did not deserve to be on there. And I think Dana White wasn't happy with it. He didn't let him, as I was saying, didn't let him have his post-match there. Performance of the night by Jiří Prochazka and his typical Messi fighting style, quite unorthodox. It was back and forth. It was quite a good fight until Jiří managed to land a flush one on him, and then Rakic kind of just backpedaled until he got ended. That was a good one if you want to go back and watch that. That was cool as well. And then we hit to the main card. No real surprises here. Charles Oliveira not winning was a wee bit of a surprise. And to the way he was manhandled on the ground by Armin Armin Tsarukyan. He took the decision. So that is another fight out there for Dan Hooker as well. So possibly because the lightweight bout was coming up. This is in the lightweight. The lightweight bout is coming up with Islam Makhachev looking to defend his bout against Dustin Poirier. So the rest of them will have to wait in line, possibly book another fight, get a good win. Dan Hooker's only a couple away from that fight if he gets a good win in his next one. And then we had the battle for China, Weili Zhang versus Yan Xiaonan, which was just basically Weili outclassing her for four rounds. She took a round off in there, which made Yan look pretty good. She's a scary woman herself and will probably beat the rest of the competition up, but Zhang Weili showed why she is champion and is better than the chasing pack at the moment. And then to the main event of the evening. I didn't know who I wanted to win this one. I was unsure because I thought both fighters were in with a good chance. Turns out, once Alex knocked out Jamahal Hill, I must have wanted Jamahal to win because I wasn't happy with the result. Best moment in that fight. Just before Pereira knocks out Hill, he cops a kick to the nether regions. Herb runs in to stop it. Pereira puts his hand in his chest. No, 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 you will not stop this. Next punch he throws as his patented left hook drops Hill, ends the fight. It was one of the, if it wasn't for the BMF fight, people would be talking about that moment because it was one of those I'm him moments, you know, like I'm the man. Hold up, Herb. Bang, I'm ending the fight now. So that was pretty cool. And then it just builds up now to UFC 301 in Brazil, where a relative newcomer out of Australia, Steve Ursig, gets his shot at the small man's title, at the flyweight title in Brazil against their champion, Alexander Pantoja. So yeah, fight game was locked on. Probably the best card of all time. Recency bias plays a part because there's been some bloody great cards. But looking forward to the next big one, Smithy.
You're looking forward to Conor McGregor's return?
Yeah, so slated for UFC 303, Conor McGregor versus Michael Chandler. Now, Chandler can lose. He can lose because he only fights on the front foot and puts everything in it. Mystic Matt, Conor McGregor is a great counterfighter. That's how he made his way to the top of the game, by counterfighting the best fighters. But I think they both will be suffering a bit of cage rust, but certainly more cage rust for McGregor. McGregor also has to get down to 155 pounds from, I think he's walking around about 180 odd at the moment, muscle. Now, I'm watching interviews while he's doing his press run for that movie, and he looks like he's coming down in weight, so we're going to have to wait to see what happens there. But I don't know, as Marvin Hagler said, it's hard to get up and pound the pavements when you're waking up in silk sheets. Now, $1 billion business, I know you still probably want to be your man in the head, but do you have that driving factor behind you to actually still be the man? I'm not sure, Smithy.
No, I don't. Oh, it's great entertainment value. And he's that hateable that people will watch it because they want to see him knocked over.
Oh, yeah.
For one. I'd almost pay $39.95 to see him get his
goals. Yeah, you know, so many around the world will. I mean, there'll be those tuning in to watch him win and those tuning in to watch him lose. Regardless, they're all making money. I'm on the fence there. I want to see both of them win. I want a double knockout. I don't like Chandler because of what he did to Dan Hooker, and I don't like McGregor because he won't fight Dan Hooker. So, yeah, I want a double knockout, Smithy. Couple more things.
Rightio.
Couple more things there. I was on the page earlier and I've lost it. Just an update on Ellerslie from Mickey G after the trials yesterday. They've been given the green light to hold its Monaco Easter handicap meeting with the three black type races this Saturday. So it all looks good after Wednesday's abandonment. Let's cross our fingers. We know that they're a good team down there with Paul Wilcox at the helm. So hopefully we get some good racing out of there on Saturday. Smitty.
Look, yeah, I look forward to that. I absolutely do. And look, you know, it's all very well to poke the Borics at it, but we need Ellerslie. Ellerslie has to be up and running and functional and working well every time they race there. It just has to, because it's the headline act, and it has to get the right kind of headlines, Brian. So you've got something else that you'd – well, Finn.
Yeah, anyway, we'll cross to like the basketball desk, Smitty.
Oh, the basketball desk. Okay, Finn. Fire ahead, man.
Just something very quickly from me, Smithy. Team USA is finalising 11 out of their 12 players for their Olympic roster. This is something else. This is something else. There's nothing like their World Cup team last year, which although did feature some very, very bright all-stars and some very good role players, this is one of the most stacked international basketball teams I have seen probably since earlier on when LeBron James was there with some of the other players. And he will be returning for this year's Olympics along with Steph Curry, Kevin Durant, Joel Embiid, Jason Tatum, Devin Booker, Jrue Holiday, Anthony Davis, Anthony Edwards, Bam Adebayo, and Tyrese Halliburton. And they will have one more to join them as well. So that is one of the most stacked international basketball teams I think I have ever seen in my entire life. I don't think any team at this World Cup will come close to beating these, no matter how good they are. Obviously, we have Luka Doncic playing for Slovenia and Jokic playing for Serbia as well. But I just don't think any team will come close to beating Team USA at this year's Olympics, because this team is just out the gate.
I wonder if you could, and I suppose it is possible to do at some stage, but you could work out the, just on an annual salary point of view, what that team worth is worth on an annual salary. I mean, it probably still would pale into insignificance if you compared it to, say, I don't know, the Brazilian football team or something like that, or the Argentinian football team in terms of annual salary, but would still be pretty worthwhile, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I mean, they're making some serious coin in this team, that's for sure.
That is just phenomenal. Absolutely phenomenal lineup. Just go through it for us again, because I was just going to work out if anyone's unlucky that I haven't heard there.
People will miss out for sure, but yeah, so we've got LeBron James, Steph Curry, Kevin Durant, Joel Embiid, Jason Tatum, Devin Booker, Jrue Holiday, Anthony Davis, Anthony Edwards, Bam Adebayo, and Tyrese Halliburton.
Wow, that is absolutely staggering. Interesting story too, just coming through this morning about the Phoenix having signed, the Wellington Phoenix having signed a 16-year-old, creating history. He became the youngest player to debut for the Phoenix. Well, they have signed him to a long-term deal. 16-year-old forward. His name is Gabriel Sloan Rodriguez. He's 16 years, 8 months and 6 days old when he first took the field for the A-League side, the Wellington Phoenix. But he has got a long-term contract with the Phoenix, which is quite staggering, absolutely quite staggering for a 16-year-old in such a competitive market. Born in Hong Kong, grew up in Auckland, relocated to Wellington when he was 14 to be part of the Phoenix Academy. Keep an eye out for this bloke. He must be something absolutely special. And Chiefy signed him for the next, well, I think it's 3 to 4 years. Yeah, amazing. 11:42 here on SENZ. Back soon.